This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's go. Ranger season still on. General at your service. There's Broadus. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. You do have Woolchuck and Chiafalo both in attendance. And, of course, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Ranger sentiment hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Late inning drama. And the Rangers come out on top of the White Sox. Give us, you know, reason to believe it is still possible, but we need some sort of a catalyst to get the energy and the momentum going. I mean, going into a 6:30 pregame tonight, I'm not sure if last night's game has me more optimistic or like, holy crap, we almost lost to the worst team in the big leagues in a must-win situation. How you feeling over there, Woolchuck?
Let's go optimism, baby.
Positivity. Positivity wins again.
That was a galvanizing type of victory. Can I get a Wyatt Bankford?
Bump, 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 bump.
Wyatt Bankford. Wyatt Bankford. Let's go.
What the doctor ordered.
Got very tricky there. I was thinking, oh my goodness, who is this guy, Kirby Yates? He's been our best reliever all year long. Is he about to blow this thing?
I dropped a couple of F-bombs.
He's going to blow this thing.
I'm not going to lie.
All it took was Bruce Bochy getting himself ejected, arguing like the old great Hall of Famer he is, just getting fuel to the team. And now the sweep is on, baby. They're back. And you gained a game last night on the division, so all is great in Ranger land.
I love it at 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line is open for you. What do you think of these guys? That's two in a row, Brian.
Yeah, that's awesome. I tell you what, I was, I just couldn't believe listening to Eric and them, you know, and Hixie broadcast the game and how bad the White Sox hitters are, and they're like, Young, he's hit 15. Oh, there's a drive. I'm like, no.
Wait, what? What
just happened? No. He's their worst hitter. He's like 4 for 61. I'm like, what are we doing? But no, hey, great job. And maybe Wyatt Langford is the guy. Maybe he's the guy that's
going to. Somebody's going to have to do it.
He's going to have to carry us through this. But, you know, nice victory last night. Any victory, especially when others in the division decide to lose. I mean, you're not expecting the Angels or the A's to do anything great, but both teams gave you a little help last night.
I mean, if the last three Cowboy seasons have taught us anything, I think how you win matters, margin of victory matters, and if you're struggling this much against a White Sox team and right now you're pessimistic, your dauber's down, I get it. Yeah. But there's so much reinforcements coming to this baseball team. Like, you know, with out of these four guys, like, they all might have been the best player on the Rangers like 4 years ago, you know? And so you look at that, you look at the trade deadline, it's insane that they got to make these decisions without getting any of those guys back.
Yeah.
You know, because I definitely would not be opposed to dealing away some starting pitching depth. I think Jacob DeGrom could be that shot in the arm. But as long as they don't move on from their bullpen pieces, Robertson and Yates, I'm going to think just about anything is possible, considering how last season ended in the run that they went on. And you know what we know Josh Young means to this lineup. It's just just insane how much the injuries crushed you in the first 3 months, and they're going to have the last laugh here as you go into the trade deadline. Really, you don't know what your team is. You don't know how much faith they should have, but I mean, it just seems highly logical that if you're getting four players back of that ilk, this team is significantly better than what we've seen really all year.
Yeah, they get hot. I mean, they're a team that I don't think anybody in the American League wants to see in the postseason. You know, if they're able to sneak in there all of a sudden, especially if you have a Jacob DeGrom back, Nathan Eovaldi, the big game pitcher that he is, you're going to have probably the best rotation in the American League. The question's been the offense and the bats, and that's been so disappointing this year because I really felt, and that was my whole calling card in the offseason, everybody was devaluing the Rangers because of the pitching injuries. And it was like, yeah, but this offense was the best in the American League a year ago. I thought they were going to be even better when you add a Wyatt Langford, you get a full season of Evan Carter. Unfortunately, the injuries, but also just guys like Jonah Heim, Adolis Garcia, even Seager and Simeon maybe not having the consistency that they've shown in the past. But all it takes is, hey, maybe a game like last night. You get the good mojo. You get Wyatt Langford able to kind of carry a team like he did in the month of June
a little bit.
That was
a big hit by Heim.
And maybe that's something that turns the corner for him.
Strikes.
All of a sudden, the lineup 1 through 9, you start playing together, you know, like one beating heartbeat. And they've just lacked that. They've gotten, you know, maybe the two guys hot, but then 7 through 9, just not playing at all. This thing just hasn't had any consistency and rhythm. Last year, they were able to do that together.
Sounded like Vince Lombardi there for a minute.
Yeah, I feel like that's struck a chord.
The one heartbeat.
One heartbeat, yeah.
Herb Brooks, maybe.
One team, one beat.
Tonight, we're the best team in the world. You know, that Herb Brooks and the.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of hearing how good the Soviets are. Screw them.
Yeah.
I mean, those teams have great chemistry. And I just wonder, you know, obviously staying focused, locked in for 6 months is difficult. You add to that coming off a World Series championship, I think managing success. And I haven't seen the spark. I haven't seen the electricity that, you know, this team had last October and November. And, you know, I just don't know if they got that it factor, you know, like last year's team does. But, you know, that's kind of what we expect Bochy to have his finger on the pulse of. But, I mean, even with the Giants, you know, he was unable to sustain that in back-to-back years. There's definitely something that makes you hungry about failure and something that makes, you know, you satisfied over success. And that's why whether it was the Lakers or the Bulls, you know, after 3 in a row, that's just about it. You know, it's time to look for the next challenge, or, you know, just the personality, like who gets credit, who's really in charge here. Those like silent issues that you sacrifice and put to the side for the betterment of the team on your way up the mountain, those become oftentimes too heavy to bear on the other side. And I just think that's what, you know, we could be looking at as much as we believe in these guys in management.
I really like what you did, but I don't understand a damn word you just said. I'm just going to say they haven't hit very well.
That's right, too.
You know, that was a very passionate speech, and I skipped that chapter that day. I appreciate you because you do come up with some wordsmithing stuff.
By the way,
Brian, that's good.
You were right last week calling BS on my rash that I got from the pool. Turned out it was poison ivy. Now this is dude, the craziest.
Hey, that's a huge win. That's a huge win.
The poison ivy finds you though, man.
In terms of just like back to the psychology of it, I'd rather know I had a little poison ivy rash instead of a random hotel pool water rash.
You know you're right about that. Here's and that water was foamy, which you just seemed disgusting.
Water was foamy, bro.
But I figured it out from the pattern of poison ivy. So what happened here? Just so we're clear, I was weed eating. You know, this is spinning around.
You wearing pants or you wearing shorts?
I was wearing pants.
Always wearing pants.
A long shirt. Yeah. Long sleeve shirt because I didn't want that poison ivy on my forearms, which is where it usually starts.
It just jumps on you.
The weed eater.
It finds him.
The weed eater, like, you know, purifies or purees the, you know, whatever you're knocking out. Purees. It gets into the air and got up my shirt.
Dude, airborne ivy?
Airborne ivy.
It might be time to retire the lawn.
Assisted by
activity.
A weed eater.
Are you ball sacking us right now?
I'm not.
Trying to avoid humiliation all of Oxnard about the motel pool rash you're dealing
next
with?
Next thing you know, you're going to tell me about West Nile.
Next time in, I need knee-high boots, I think gloves, and two shirts, the bottom layer tucked in.
I think you got to go full Breaking Bad hazmat, brother.
And I got to tell you what.
They got those costumes. You can actually pull it off pretty easily.
Yes.
One of these costume stores.
It might get a little hot, you know, on the
It's going to get toasty.
But maybe I can make a breathing hole for it that I could be safe from.
Toasty better than itchy.
And I even have this special poison ivy soap that I shower with after I do yard work now. It's supposed to knock off all of that oil.
You have shower gloves?
I have. Well, no, not shower gloves. A shower soap for poison ivy.
Oh,
it's like a special.
Wow.
Shower gloves.
We'll get the
shower gloves.
We'll get the oils
it's
off.
It's the newest invention.
It's unbelievable how poison ivy has my number.
It really does, though.
Yeah.
Gosh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You don't have any family that's getting this. Your daughters aren't susceptible.
They'll get it, but
you're getting
light.
Airborne.
Yes.
That's like the top of tier of vulnerability to anything.
I don't know if anybody is as sensitive to the poison ivy as I am. I have the record for it.
There's a study. They're going to pay you $600 a week. They'd like to hold you over for some tests.
Yeah, dude.
And let you.
I couldn't believe it when I finally figured it out. I'm like, wait a minute, this rash isn't going away within 48 hours. Should I go to the doctor? I'm like, oh, hell, that's poison ivy.
How interesting that the ivy takes the toughest route because they could just swim on up to your face, right? It's just open air face, but they decide to get into your crevices of your shorts and your pants.
Poison ivy's counting on him rubbing his face with his hand. That's what they're counting on right there.
Yeah.
They're like, let's attack like this area here. He goes, dumbass will like scratch and rub his face. That's what happened. Yeah.
No, it's happened before. That poison ivy will get all sorts of places. I mean, the good news is with this level of defense I'm playing against it, at least the breakouts are very minor.
What the soap, what kind of, does it have any smell to it? Is it like,
I don't know.
Is it just like Lifebuoy or like old school 1970s?
I wish we could get like an anti-mosquito soap that I could use during the summers.
You having a bad issue with that?
These mosquitoes are just, I mean, they're
the lighting
rampant.
Of the candles or...
You guys are doing a lot of crap. I've gone to bug spray this summer, but every time I spray that on me, I feel like my life gets a month shorter. Like just smelling bug spray, I'm like, there's no way this isn't killing.
Oh, no. Yeah, off spray is to kill your offspring if you're spraying it on them.
Jeez.
I'm serious, dude.
Spray takes a knee out there like, oh, this is the final day.
I swear to God.
It's like so many chemicals in one spray.
He's writing his will out at
the... God knows what you're breathing in there.
Calvin Watkins with the Cowboy Report. As the team getting ready to leave for camp, the organization hasn't had any substantial contract talks with receiver CeeDee Lamb. Person with knowledge of the discussion said reports are he's not going to report as Zach Martin did last year. It is possible Scooney and Mozzie will avoid the pup and start camp practices, although we are expecting Trayvon Diggs will not be practicing immediately.
We talked about this before this report came out last week. We were mentioning that Diggs was probably going to go on PUP, but that sounds like the only one right now they're boarding the airplane and heading out that way.
No surprise with CeeDee Lamb. I think that's the clear one that you sign. I mean, his work ethic, his skill level, his passion. I mean, nobody's perfect, but I think CeeDee Lamb is about as close as you can get to it as far as like, hey, here's a guy that deserves every dollar that he's asking for compared to the market. So I think this thing will be done like Zach, like 3 or 4 days into camp last year.
Yeah, Saturday.
Do you think so?
It'll be done by Saturday.
Wow.
Sounds like Walchuk's got some pretty hardcore confidence and information on this one.
Would you like to expand on that?
Just, hey, you heard it here first. When that deal's done on Saturday, and if it's not done, you didn't hear it. But when it is,
you're welcome. Is Pretty Ricky saying something?
Don't trust me, right, Walchuk?
But I did see Pretty Ricky put out like, hey, this is the stuff I've been wrong about. I just want you to know I take responsibility for those things.
Sure. Oh, good. Sure.
I appreciate that. We don't get that all the time.
No. I wonder how quickly we're going to get a chance to hopefully catch up with Dak, because I want to know what his planned canned CeeDee Lamb answer is anytime he gets asked it, you know, because I'm sure he's thought through this. Okay, my guy is going to be holding out. I'm going to get peppered. What's my canned answer?
Hey, we reached out. As a show, I know you were yesterday with your gals, but we reached out to the show. We're trying to get him as a guest.
Trying to get Dak.
Full-time guest. I mean,
we're trying to get Dak to
be the guy. Threw his name in the mix. We're going to see if it...
Throw it in there, man. Mix it up.
We had a big swing here.
Sprinkle a little Prescott in there.
We took a big swing, and, you know, we might get poison ivy. We don't know.
I think his canned answer needs to be something along the lines of, I'm not totally sure where CeeDee is right now. I just know he's open. Next question.
There we go. That would be awesome.
I like what you're doing there.
So I'm going to throw that to him and see if he latches on to it. Yeah. But it sounds like, according to Walchuk, I mean, CeeDee Lamb's going
to
be
to
a camp
about,
in, no,
baby.
In no time.
Insider.
Saturday, dude.
Give it a couple of days.
When he does the State of the Union to all the fans in the city of Oxnard, CeeDee's
going to come running out.
CeeDee's going to walk out. Pad. He's going to sign. Yeah, full pad.
And it's not even a full pad practice, by the way. If you're going out there, it's just going to be one of those walkthrough deals.
No, but CeeDee Lamb's going to be in like Sunday game day ready to go, and then Jerry's going to grab the skin and boop, flip that pill
is
right to him.
Deflect,
touchdown.
Is this to deflect what's going on in the owner's life right now?
Hey,
you think a little diversion?
Brian, it's like
wag
you worked
the dog. What was that movie?
It's like you worked in that building before, Brian.
I think you wagged the finger. You walked
wag
the dog.
Dog.
You walked the
no,
dog.
No,
you
there
wagged
was a
the
movie.
Finger.
There was a movie called Wag the Dog. It was a diversion. They created a fake war to make. You guys never
you
see
start
any
wagging
of these
the dog. No.
Forget
Brian,
it. With all due respect, I say this with love.
To distract them?
It's probably a 70s movie.
It's not a 70s movie. I think it was called Wag the Dog.
All right, let's wag the dog.
Yeah, wag the dog.
Wagging it. 1997, Wag the Dog film.
Oh, wow, this is Bob De Niro.
Holy crap.
This is star-studded. Kirsten Dunst.
Brian, I've seen Wag the Dog.
Okay, they created a version to kind of get things away, you know. So
it was a sex scandal.
Mm. Okay.
So you
Here
could be on
what
to
does
something,
that mean?
Brian.
Here oh, Dustin Hoffman was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was the man in the sex scandal.
Definitely sex
All right,
scandal.
Here we go.
There's at least one guy on the text who has a worse poison ivy allergy than I do. He says if he ever gets exposed to it, his eyes swell shut, and if he ever breathes in smoke containing it would most likely kill him.
Whoa.
So best of
okay,
luck to
Okay, not
you
laughing
there.
At that kind
Death
of
by
thing.
Ivy? I mean,
shave Irish Springs bar soap in your yard keeps mosquitoes out, supposedly. Worth
what?
A shot.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's taking the bar of soap and then getting like a cheese grinder or whatever, cheese shaver, and just shaving it out like that?
You could get a vegetable peeler.
Yeah, like a potato peeler.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. Peeler. All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I acted like you didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
I thought you were going to hit me with the full-fledged dumbass like you did a couple of weeks ago.
Apropos.
Okay. I almost said it, and then I thought, I can't do that.
Hey, that's you getting better 1% every single day. Fine, I respect that commitment.
We got a long time at camp. I don't want to start off badly.
I don't know. Last year, we were fighting with each other.
Oh, do we need to should we relive? We're about to be at the anniversary of the piss poor moment. Sean Payton and the piss poor.
We are.
Might have to relive that tomorrow before we hop on the bird.
We'll live the G-bag of the day coming up for you here in about 14 minutes. Where are we going next?
Well, speaking of a piss poor segment, let's do the Chuck Wagon, the Playmaker three-peat advice, Olympic food, and cocaine sharks. That's next.
Yeah, buddy, it's time to jump in the Chuck Wagon. Segment's brought to you by Window Nation. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's Walt Chuck.
All right, so we've got cocaine sharks off the coast of Brazil. If you are going to be traveling anywhere near Brazil, just be aware. Researchers have discovered these cocaine sharks. Apparently, they've had a study that was conducted from September 2021 all the way until August 2023. In the study, they analyzed 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks that were captured off the coast of Rio de Janeiro, and they discovered that every one of the sharks was dissected and studied, and there was a presence of cocaine. I guess this is the dumping of cocaine into the ocean, and these sharks have found a way to just get a little sniffy sniff.
Can you imagine, dude? And then those sharks begin chasing that feeling for the rest of time in open waters.
I mean, we have had a, it would seem like,
oh my gosh,
more shark
that?
Attacks than ever that I can remember this summer.
In Florida, too.
Become a little bit ornery after that, I imagine.
And next thing you know, we got the cocaine shark movie.
It's a perfect animal for cocaine, though, because sharks can't stop moving. You know what I mean? They
always
got to swim.
They're always like,
yeah.
And what is it, the best way to fight a shark? Is it like you hit them in the nose?
You hold their nose.
That's right. And it like ruins their sensories.
I mean, hitting their nose would be pretty good, but just putting your hand out there, if you can get it on their nose, you got them. You know, their eyes are going to roll back in their head. They're Dunsky.
It's a public service.
Like punch their nostrils. Like, do you want to clog them?
Yeah. By the way, the story's personal to me, Woolchuck. I haven't told you guys about this yet.
You've been transporting cocaine?
Yeah. My brother-in-law.
You're Brazilian.
My brother-in-law was just in vacation in Florida, right?
Okay.
All these little tiny fish were schooling around him and his daughter. They're playing like in knee-high water or whatever. He says all of a sudden, he feels like somebody just hit his right foot a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Sledgehammer.
Oh, no.
The water very quickly gets super, super bloody. He's like, holy crap. He loses function of his right leg. So he kind of picks up his, you know, 4 or 5 year old daughter, and they make it back to shore. They get medical personnel over. Long story short, something bit him. He thinks it had to have been a shark.
Yeah.
Severed the ligament connecting his heel to his big toe. Now he's got to go in for like foot reconstruction surgery.
Oh my goodness. That is a terrible.
Came over hobbling in a boot last night, told me the whole story. I was like, holy crap, dude.
Gosh,
no idea.
My gosh. Man. Yeah.
So it went for his foot. That's interesting. Just like,
usually they'll bump into you first. Before
just
they
kind of tell what all
this is probably is a little this? One, you know, that thought it was just biting at all the little random bait fish that were schooling around them.
Freaking out due to the cocaine. Wow. This is unbelievable. Now they're getting angry.
Yeah, it was probably all jacked up on cocaine. Gosh. Poor baby shark.
Gosh, dang it.
All the sharks I know do cocaine, by the way.
A lot of them do.
All the sharks I know do cocaine.
Oh my God. let's go to Michael Irvin, who is on the Jim Rome show. Jim Rome's been trying to get all the cowboy content he can.
What do you say?
He's like, you know what? Let's get Michael Irvin on. But what are they talking about? Not the Cowboys. They're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce. Well, Kelce was in town for the Dallas Mavericks run in the NBA Finals with his buddy Pat Mahomes. I guess he caught up with Michael Irvin, asked him for some advice.
Travis Kelce. You know, I spent some time with him, and he said to me, he grabbed me, you know, he hugged me real tight, and he said, Michael, tell me about that three-peat chase. Because, you know, we went through that. We tried that. We went for the three-peat. And of course, we lost our coach. We changed coaches in the midst of going for that three-peat. And I told him, I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, every day, man, every day when I put head to pillow at night and when I wake up and put toothbrush to tooth in the morning, I think about that one that got away. I think about that 94 championship game. I think about that pass interference that didn't get called on Deion. I think about, man, I should have jumped up for that ball. I shouldn't have waited on that ball because I wanted to wait and score that touchdown. But if I could have jumped up and caught it, I could have clearly declared. They would have clearly declared the pass interference, or I would have caught the ball and would have had another down. On the. You see, I said to him, whatever you do, do all you can do to make that happen. Don't leave nothing on the table, because I'm telling you, if you leave anything on the table and you don't get it, you will think about it for the rest of your life, like I do. He hugged me and said, man, that's what I needed to hear, man. So I'm telling you, you do everything. And I think just him thinking about that, we're in an NBA game, and that's all he wanted to talk about. I give them a great chance at three-peating, because it was on his mind that quick after winning a championship. That's what it takes. It's the job that you never leave. Kansas City, most of the league is looking to get famous, while Kansas City is looking for championships. That's why they're dominating this league like they're dominating this league.
It's true. And I don't know, maybe the Cowboys, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, they were very frustrated with the Cowboys this offseason. Are they now just looking at, hey, the Chiefs get it. These guys are hungry. Mahomes, mm-hmm. Kelsey, they got that eye of the tiger like we used to have there in the 90s. Our Cowboys aren't doing it.
People are alleging that you intentionally went from cocaine sharks to the playmaker Michael Irvin, Walchuk, and I think that's one hell of an allegation.
It's a hell of an allegation.
Mm.
I think that's great advice, though. I don't know that anybody is as competitive as Michael Irvin, though. Like I believe him when he says he wakes up every morning and thinks about that.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce's like, yeah, honestly, I probably won't. If we don't get it this year, it'll just kind of be a little bit of a bummer, but I won't be thinking about it for the rest of time as I brush my teeth in the morning.
You don't think he's like that ultra warrior spirit competitor like Brady?
I don't think it's to the playmaker levels.
Not quite.
You know, I don't. But that's the type of energy you need fed through that entire locker room right now.
Maybe Mahomes
might have that.
But not so much
Kelce. I wouldn't deny anything about
Mahomes. I don't know. Maybe we're lacking a little bit of that there at the Star.
You absolutely are. I think you look back at what kind of an owner, what kind of a coach they had back then. It was an owner that needed to win to make the business successful, and a coach that all he did is win, and they didn't care what was in their way. They were willing to smash it like a bug in order to make championships happen. And now you got an entire organization that's less focused, and I'm looking at Jerry Jones to reestablish championship culture, because without the main guy doing it,
gotta do it at the top,
you're not going to get there. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah, shark like a Wall Street shark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Oh, hey, ah, hey.
That Wolf of Wall Street, very telling.
Hey, you know what I mean? All right, see, it's day number two right here for my man Ross. He was filling in the Pimp Cup on Friday while I was out there at Globe Life Field with the boys, and the Gators got a hold of him. Sure did. One time for Ross. Mm-hmm. Oh, great man. All right, yeah, one time for Ross right there. Gators got a hold of him. He was drowning. Eric tried to talk him through it.
Hopefully there's still a pulse on Ross if he gets the opportunity to throw it to break here.
Yeah.
He's having everything spinning, I would imagine. That's why we love live radio. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta power through, and we will get back to the G-Bag of the Day. Potentially.
Maybe.
No guarantees.
Allegedly.
On a mail-it-in Friday. That was a historical G-Bag of the Day here. Appreciate you rocking with us live at Globe Life Field. It is the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus is going to give us a Krusty's Corner for the ages coming up next.
Guys,
coming up Monday morning on Sean and RJ.
Guys.
Second half of their season against Baltimore.
Guys.
Josh Abbott Band ticket giveaway during the expressway. It's a Monday morning with Sean and RJ.
Yes.
Somebody got to read?
What?
We good, Ross? I'm sorry.
We good, Ross?
I'm sorry.
Good, Ross, man. What's going on, dude?
That's me. Little Hitsky over here, bro.
That boy, Ross. I called for some G-Bag of the Day audio, and they got quiet in a free clinic. I was like, hello. Where you at, bro?
Ross was like, oh, wait. Y'all can't hear that?
Yeah. I told him that yesterday. I was like, can you hear it, fool?
Right. Wait, what?
That's my man. Let's see. Woolchuck sent me this one yesterday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell is his name.
Yeah.
He's not a fan of this question right here. Hey, come on. Come on, guy.
But earlier in the game, just like the at-bats, thinking like the seventh inning with Morrell, there's a time run at second. He's looked like he was swinging for the lake there. I don't know. What do you think about some of those?
Come on, Jesse. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, guy.
That's your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about...
I think that's a bad take. Why? That's a bad take. He's swinging for the lake? That's a bad take. It's a bad take.
Why is that?
Come on.
He's having a good at-bat trying to hit the ball hard. It didn't work. The pitcher made a good pitch. He made an out.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Can you say no?
Come on, guys.
Swing to the lake. Come on.
I think you're worth more.
I think, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Looked like you're swinging for the lake there. I don't know. What do you think about some of those?
Come on, Jesse. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Jesse.
We're always swinging for the lake.
Come on, Jesse.
Hey. This is not one. It's not. But apparently Blake called Alec Medford a redhead baddie.
Oh.
A redhead baddie.
It's your boy Freddie D alongside the one and only Blake Elliott. We got Dave Mustaine, a.k.a. Jesus, a.k.a. Alec Medford.
What are we doing
in
here?
The house? Doing the damn thing. What kind of shampoo do you use?
Redhead baddie.
What kind?
Do not call That's me a crazy. Baddie ever again. Chris, I need that sent off to Lucius, please.
That is a great drop, though. Redhead baddie.
Redhead baddie.
I love those.
Andy Dawson like, damn, I just retired. That's me, bro. That's me, cuz. All right, let's see what else I got for you, boy. Hey. Frank Caliendo was in the studio on, what was that, Thursday?
Yeah, Wolchuk was out.
Man, I was so bummed. But it was a good segment. He was hilarious. He guys did great.
Yeah, he did some presidents right here, since we are presidential right now.
You know, W is just about 5 miles down the road over here.
Well, that's a pretty good place to be, man. I just am trying to find my way, here, I guess. trying to figure it out, you know, just to get from place to place, a placification, right?
Placification.
When you have a president that laughs like a Muppet, there's nothing better, right?
You do the potato.
You do Trump or Biden's?
Well, a very, very good. A lot of people are saying tremendous people. Oh. Some of the best people are great people, and
and then Biden, I've got him with the he's got the whisper follow-up. So it's a this or that premise. So he'll be like talking about something like the vaccines or something, like, it's not politics, it's science. It's science. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. It's humidity. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. It's DiGiorno.
The genius, dude.
Really was awesome.
He was so good.
You missed out on Frank, dude.
I know.
Not only is he great on the air, but he's really, really cool off the air.
Gosh.
Sweetheart. Class act.
What a badass.
Yeah, pool sharks. Pool sharks definitely do cocaine. Yeah. Got a little heroin cocktail, too, when they win. Ooh. A little heroin on the rocks, please. let's see what else. One more right here. Tony Romo, if you are listening, I do not agree with this whatsoever. I'm just feeding the streets with content. Shane Gillis. Take it up with Shane Gillis. He's talking about you, bro.
Tony Romo is nice.
Anytime I listen to him,
dude,
I'm
when
like,
he's just like third best. And five, they're going to hit a quick out. Guy bottom of the screen.
He goes, now what?
Right
he
away.
Goes, keep your eyes on the linebacker right here. Watch what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And he it's literally awesome. Does it's exact. Awesome. Oh, it's
yeah,
brilliant.
That's cool.
I think Tony is so keen that it's almost scary. Where it's savant. Yeah. Where you're like, is he a genius?
Yeah, it just shows you how untalented he was. He just knew everything that
knew
was about to happen.
Yeah.
And still kind of sucked. He was ground level. He was like, I know you're going there. I'm going to try to throw the ball. Oh, you got it. You picked it off. Damn it.
Damn it. That's good. I hadn't heard that take on Tony. It's pretty good.
Damn it.
Shane Gillis on Tony Romo. What do you say, Lucius? Have a vote.
What cocaine sharks to run? Okay. I'm not going to read. That's the way baseball go, boy.
That's where eight balls go. I need to chill.
You're on fire. Yeah, I say you're just heating
that's
up.
That's where eight balls go. That's good. That's a good brand right there.
That is good. That is good. Is it the G-bag of the day with Ross? Is it the bad baseball
team? I'm pretty sure you get a cease and desist from Ron pretty quick. You know.
Is it Blake calling Alec Medford a redheaded baddie? Is it Thursday with Frank Caliendo or Shane Gillis on Tony Romo? I'll go with our guest, Frank, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, as much as I love Frank and redheaded baddies, I think I'm going to go with Ross.
We're tied at one, Lucius.
Cubs manager.
We're still tied at one, Wolchuk.
You know, this is a fantastic selection here. I'm going to go with Frank because I'm just so sad that I miss seeing him.
Brian?
I'm going to let the listeners decide. I'm going to go with Ross.
All right.
Yeah, vote off.
We're tied at two. Jump onto at GBag Nation. That's our Twitter account. You can follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio at GBag Nation. We're going to create an Insta poll, let you decide who the champion is, and we're back with Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking us, man?
Well, I've got some questions before camp. We'll get to those next.
Thank you, Lucius, and congratulations to everybody involved in Friday's GBag of the Day with Ross. It is one again, now a two-time champion. It is time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. And the corner, as always, is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here's your king and your host, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much again to Reliant. And I really appreciate them being on board. Look forward to having them out at camp with me in Krusty's Corner as well. A lot of information going to be at those practices and stuff like that. So I'm really, really excited about what we got going. And oh, by the way, I got my status back for Avis.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to wait in line.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's everything's like taken care of.
Oh, we're not going to get thrifty nickeled again?
No, I'm just going to walk there. My name should be on that board, and we go grab a car.
Do you say Super Bowl champion Brian Broaddus? That's how you do it?
You know, I don't go that far. I think I'm going to wear my Super Bowl ring this trip, though.
I think you should. I think you should just walk right up to the counter, put the ring down on the desk.
Well, we need to bring as many championship vibes out to Cowboys camp.
I might even just wear the World Series replica ring and just pretend it's legit.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page because I thought the exact same thing. That's a no freaking brainer, dude.
Okay,
we are bringing all the championship gear. We need to inspire these guys.
Yeah, but we're all sitting together on the flight out. But if you were sitting with other people and you had the ring, do you think you could have conversations with people about it? Like they look down and like, ooh, what's
you a champion?
And then you just make up some ridiculous story about, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
I'm a road warrior.
You know.
Oh,
this thing here?
This whole thing? Oh, yeah.
And then they see the name on the side that says Simeon.
Oh, that was a fun year.
What's this all about?
You know? Bet 9 out of 10 people sitting next to you would just believe that you were him.
Wouldn't be the first time a DFW sports radio host had made up a career in baseball. That one?
Yeah. I think I know.
Zing!
Yeah, I think that's what you're talking about there. All right, I've got some questions for my guys. Again, excited about being out there at camp. And then thanks to everybody involved, too, for allowing me to be out there the whole time as well. That'll be a lot of fun. So look forward to some really good content coming from camp. All right, got some questions. Chief, I'll start with you.
Mm.
Are there some undervalued players on this roster? This Dallas Cowboys roster? Are there some undervalued guys that you know, when you start to, in June, we get all those lists, and Dak's the eighth best, and Diggs is the seventh best. You know what I'm saying? Is there any undervalued players on this roster? And I'm not going to ask you, because I know you're feeling about Dak. But
I would say like Ferguson, Tyler Smith, those are two guys that are on these lists that you feel like they're not getting the national respect that you feel like they deserve.
Yeah.
And they're still sort of in the infancy of their careers and they're not household name. It's not like either one of them were top picks. So to some extent, I understand it. The football hipsters understand how good Tyler Smith is or how good Jake Ferguson is and is going to be. Those would be the first two that come to mind. And probably Deron Bland as well.
Sure.
We can't get an honorable mention on the corners list, dude.
Yeah. I like where you're going there. How about you there, Wooly Bully?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I fought for Jake Ferguson when that top 10 came out. I agree 100% with Tyler Smith. I think Bland is a great name. I'm going to go with, and I brought him up yesterday in Osa Digizua.
Osa, yeah.
You know, I feel like some of Osa wearing down is, I mean, he's really all you have in the middle. And some of that's like, man, he's having to take on everything. If he just had some competent pieces around him to try and help shoulder some of the burden, maybe that helps him be able to go through the wear and tear of the full 17-game schedule. But I think for the most part, we see Osa playing really high-level football.
He's pretty good. You know, I liked the idea of Jake Ferguson. I think Brandon Cooks is underrated, though. I just don't think he's getting the respect that he could as a number two. Slow start last year, I think, hurt his overall numbers, and people think he's gotten old. But, I mean, the guy takes such great care of himself. He's going to be in amazing shape. So I'd go with him. And I think Mozzie as well. You know, okay. I'm going to start calling him Smitty because I've never known a Smitty that was bad at his job. Okay. So, but no, I think they did him a massive disservice playing him in the wrong role last year. It messed with his head. I think the mentals are right coming into camp and his role is right.
I like it.
And he will at least be a serviceable big.
Yeah. The thing with Cooks, if I could circle back on that, he had to start playing the role of Gallup because Gallup just wasn't good enough at it. So all of a sudden you're seeing him run routes inside and stuff that. The crossing routes and things like that, but him running slants and things, he had to try. They had to have somebody that had to try those routes, and you know he's the type of guy that will go and do it with a smile on his face. So anyway, all right, Chief. Wooly. I'm sorry. Yeah. I went to you last time. Wooly, I'll go with you on this one. Is it wrong to forget about Damone Clark here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I think Damone Clark is a guy. So, okay, I'll say yes, it is. I think Damone Clark is going to benefit immensely by having Eric Kendricks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is what we talked about last year, and Baldy brought this up, and I thought he was so spot on. Patrick Queen was a guy that struggled his entire career, also sure. LSU product.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get a guy in Roquan Smith, who now is the guy that can take over the green dot responsibilities, is able to get everybody lined up. Now Patrick Queen can play more freely. I think having Eric Kendricks there, where Damone Clark doesn't have to be the guy that's kind of trying to get everybody set up. I mean, he lost that with Leighton Vander Esch. Now Damone Clark can play freely. We've seen flashes. The New England game specifically stands out to me where he played really, really well. I think next to a veteran linebacker where he can just kind of, he knows his responsibility, he doesn't have to captain the rest of the linebacking core, that's going to help him be a better player.
How about you there, Dawson?
I'm sorry, what was the question? My family called me for the 17th time today.
No problem.
They know you're about to leave.
Yeah. You're on the air now? Here, let me call you.
Is it wrong for us to forget about Damone Clark, the linebacker?
No, it's not wrong. No, last year showed he's a great athlete, and that was enough to get him in position at the college game. But if you can't do it in the pro game early on, it looks atrocious, then you're fighting an uphill battle to become a rotation guy.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on this one. I would probably lean a little bit more to Walchuk. I think you saw the best Damone Clark when he had Vander Esch next to him, and then everything bottomed out after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still much higher on Overshown. If you're talking about young linebacker that you're excited about still. I mean, for me, Clark is hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one for you, we'll go with Chief on this one. Go back to you on this one. Will this coaching staff use Turpin or Vaughn the right way?
I think they showed that they know how to use Turpin. I don't know that Vaughn is ultimately going to be overly usable for anybody. It seems like they're at least trying based on the slot work he's getting in OTAs, and we'll see how much we see of that in Oxnard. You're going to have to get super creative for him. I think Turpin, there were times last year where you're like, my gosh, it's nice to see him incorporated into the offense. He's a guy who can really stretch the field for you, and he made some plays. So, yes, I think they have a plan for Turpin. I just don't know that anybody could really have a overly successful plan for Vaughn.
Yeah, I think they will treat both players the right way. They got a good plan at, you know, for Turpin, special teams guy that you try to figure out ways to get the ball in his hand. Is that a jet sweeps or screens or just downfield? I think they got that figured out. And with Deuce Vaughn, the right thing to do is have him on the practice squad. And I think they know that.
I'll kind of have to believe it when I see it here. I mean, I think that it's fun to think of Deuce Vaughn in the slot. Maybe they do, but I've just got to see it in game action before I'm going to buy into they've actually got a legitimate NFL game day type of plan here.
See, the thing that I always see stuff that gets worked on in OTAs and minicamp, and then you never see it again.
Like the red zone stuff we saw last year.
And you're like, yeah, and they're all, you know, they like five opportunities in the red zone, they score four times. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like, why are you having red zone problems?
100%. We can get excited with some of this stuff we're seeing at practice, but until we see it in the game, I don't know.
Okay, and boy, on this one. Caitlin Carson, the cornerback, will be the best defensive rookie in camp.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really excited about Caitlin Carson. I think he is going to Al Harris.
Of all the defensive guys they drafted,
the rookie DBs.
Yeah, of the rookie DBs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I'm very high on Caitlin Carson's game.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on everything that I know about him, everything you guys have talked about, and things I've read, it seems like this is a guy who's got a legit future here. And I'm not high on Leafau, and I'm not overly high on Nealon, at least from the jump. So I think Carson's fair to be excited about.
This guy's a ball god, Brian.
There you go.
You watched the tape, didn't you?
I did.
There he is.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Now, when we come back, it's time to wet that NFL whistle just a little bit more. Well, Chuck, where are we going?
Well, we got some breaking contract news. 23, the Kelce Mix and Method to the Madness. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius, and congratulations to everybody involved in Friday's G-Bag of the Day with Ross. It is one again, now a two-time champion. It is time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, and the corner, as always, is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And here's your king and your host, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much again to Reliant, and I really appreciate them being on board. Look forward to having them out at camp with me in Krusty's Corner as well. A lot of information going to be at those practices and stuff like that, so I'm really, really excited about what we got going. And, oh, by the way, I got my status back for Avis.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to wait in line.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's everything's like taken care of.
Oh, we're not going to get thrifty nickeled again?
No, I'm just going to walk there. My name should be on that board, and we go grab a car.
Do you say Super Bowl champion Brian Broaddus? That's how you do it?
You know, I don't go that far. I think I'm going to wear my Super Bowl ring this trip, though.
I think you should. Go. I think you should just walk right up to the counter, put the ring down on the desk.
Well, we need to bring as many championship vibes out to Cowboys camp.
I might even just wear the World Series replica ring and just pretend it's legit.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page because I thought the exact same thing. That's a no-freaking-brainer, dude.
Okay.
We are bringing all the championship gear. We need to inspire these guys.
Yeah, but we're all sitting together on the flight out. But if you were sitting with other people and you had the ring, do you think you could have conversations with people about it? Like, they look down and like, ooh, what's
you a champion?
And then you just make up some ridiculous story about, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm a road warrior.
You know.
oh,
this thing here?
This whole thing? Oh, yeah.
And then they see the name on the side that says Simeon.
Oh, that was a fun year.
What's this all about?
You know? I bet 9 out of 10 people sitting next to you would just believe that you were him.
Wouldn't be the first time a DFW sports radio host had made up a career in baseball. That one?
Yeah. I think I know.
Zing!
Yeah, I think that's what you're talking about there. All right, I've got some questions for my guys. Again, excited about being out there at camp. And then thanks to everybody involved, too, for allowing me to be out there the whole time as well. That'll be a lot of fun. So look forward to some really good content coming from camp. All right, got some questions. Chief, I'll start with you.
Mm.
Are there some undervalued players on this roster? This Dallas Cowboys roster. Are there some undervalued guys that – you know, when you start to, in June, we get all those lists, and Dak's the 8th best, and Diggs is the 7th best. You know what I'm saying? Is there any undervalued players on this roster? And I'm not going to ask you, because I know you're feeling about Dak. But
I would say like Ferguson, Tyler Smith, those are two guys that are on these lists that you feel like they're not getting the national respect that you feel like they deserve.
Yeah.
And they're still sort of in the infancy of their careers, and they're not household name. It's not like either one of them were top picks. So to some extent, I understand it. The football hipsters understand how good Tyler Smith is or how good Jake Ferguson is and is going to be. Those would be the first two that come to mind. And probably Deron Bland as well.
Sure.
We can't get an honorable mention on the corners list, dude.
Yeah. I like where you're going there. How about you there, Wooly Bully?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I fought for Jake Ferguson when that top 10 came out. I agree 100% with Tyler Smith. I think Bland is a great name. I'm going to go with, and I brought him up yesterday in Osa Digizua.
Osa, yeah.
You know, I feel like some of Osa wearing down is, I mean, he's really all you have in the middle. And some of that's like, man, he's having to take on everything. If he just had some competent pieces around him to try and help shoulder some of the burden, maybe that helps him be able to go through the wear and tear of the full 17-game schedule. But I think for the most part, we see Osa playing really high-level football.
He's pretty good. You know, I liked the idea of Jake Ferguson. I think Brandon Cooks is underrated, though. I just don't think he's getting the respect that he could as a number two.
I like that.
Slow start last year, I think, hurt his overall numbers, and people think he's gotten old. But, I mean, the guy takes such great care of himself. He's going to be in amazing shape. So I'd go with him. And I think Mozzie as well. I'm going to start calling him Smitty because I've never known a Smitty that was bad at his job. Okay? So I think they did him a massive disservice playing him in the wrong role last year. It messed with his head. I think the mentals are right coming into camp, and his role is right.
I like it.
And he will at least be a serviceable big.
Yeah, the thing with Cooks, if I could circle back on that, he had to start playing the role of Gallup because Gallup just wasn't good enough at it. So all of a sudden you're seeing him run routes inside and stuff, that the crossing routes and things like that, but him running slants and things, that's just... He had to try. They had to have somebody that had to try those routes. And, you know, he's the type of guy that will go and do it with a smile on his face. So anyway. All right, Chief. Wooly. I'm sorry. Yeah. I went to you last time. Wooly, I'll go with you on this one. Is it wrong to forget about Damone Clark here?
I don't think it's wrong. I think Damone Clark is a guy. So, okay, I'll say yes, it is. I think Damone Clark is going to benefit immensely by having Eric Kendricks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is what we talked about last year, and Baldy brought this up, and I thought he was so spot on. Patrick Queen was a guy that struggled his entire career, also LSU product.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get a guy in Roquan Smith, who now is the guy that can take over the green dot responsibilities, is able to get everybody lined up. Now Patrick Queen can play more freely. I think having Eric Kendricks there to where Damone Clark doesn't have to be the guy that's kind of trying to get everybody set up. I mean, he lost that with Leighton Vander Esch. Now Damone Clark can play freely. We've seen flashes. The New England game specifically stands out to me where he played really, really well. I think next to a veteran linebacker where he can just kind of, he knows his responsibility, he doesn't have to captain the rest of the linebacking core, that's going to help him be a better player.
How about you there, Dawson?
I'm sorry, what was the question? My family called me for time today.
No problem.
They know you're about to leave.
Yeah. You're on the air now? Here, let me call you.
Is it wrong for us to forget about Damone Clark, the linebacker?
No, it's not wrong. No, last year showed he's a great athlete, and that was enough to get him in position at the college game. But if you can't do it in the pro game early on, it looks atrocious, then you're fighting an uphill battle to become a rotation guy.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on this one. I would probably lean a little bit more to Walchuk. I think you saw the best Damone Clark when he had Vander Esch next to him, and then everything bottomed out after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still much higher on Overshown. If you're talking about young linebacker that you're excited about still. I mean, for me, Clark is hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one for you, we'll go with Chief on this one. Go back to you on this one. Will this coaching staff use Turpin or Vaughn the right way?
I think they showed that they know how to use Turpin. I don't know that Vaughn is ultimately going to be overly usable for anybody. It seems like they're at least trying based on the slot work he's getting in OTAs, and we'll see how much we see of that in Oxnard. You're going to have to get super creative for him. I think Turpin, there were times last year where you're like, my gosh, it's nice to see him incorporated into the offense. He's a guy who can really stretch the field for you, and he made some plays. So, yes, I think they have a plan for Turpin. I just don't know that anybody could really have a overly successful plan for Vaughn.
Yeah, I think they will treat both players the right way. They got a good plan. For Turpin, special teams guy that you try to figure out ways to get the ball in his hand. Is that, a jet sweeps or screens or just downfield? I think they got that figured out. And with Deuce Vaughn, the right thing to do is have him on the practice squad. And I think they know that.
I'll kind of have to believe it when I see it here. I mean, I think that it's fun to think of Deuce Vaughn in the slot. Maybe they do, but I've just got to see it in game action before I'm going to buy into they've actually got a legitimate NFL game day type of plan here.
See, the thing that I always see stuff that gets worked on in OTAs and minicamp, and then you never see it again.
Like the red zone stuff we saw last year.
And you're like, yeah, and they're all, you know, they like five opportunities in the red zone, they score four times.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're like, why are you having red zone problems?
100%. We can get excited with some of this stuff we're seeing at practice, but until we see it in the game, I don't know.
Okay, and boy on this one. Caitlin Carson, the cornerback, will be the best defensive rookie in camp.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really excited about Caitlin Carson. I think he is going to Al Harris.
Of all the defensive guys they drafted,
the rookie DBs.
Yeah, the rookie DBs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I'm very high on Caitlin Carson's game.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on everything that I know about him, everything you guys have talked about and things I've read, it seems like this is a guy who's got a legit future here. And I'm not high on Leafau, and I'm not overly high on Nealon, at least from the jump. So I think Carson's fair to be excited about.
This guy's a ball god, Brian.
There you go.
You watched the tape, didn't you?
I did.
There he is.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Now, when we come back, it's time to wet that NFL whistle just a little bit more. Well, Chuck, where are we going?
Well, we got some breaking contract news. 23, the Kelce mix and Method to the Madness. That's next.